This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, hour number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel in studio at Gal Media's palatial accommodations as we roll through an F Yeah Friday. Ari Spears, comedian of the week. Barry's giving you some backstory there. Listener appreciation party extravaganza. And as you guys know, it's bigger and better when it comes from our show because you get a Suspects t-shirt.
Yeah.
If you win on our show.
How cool is that?
Very cool. So cool, I'd like to see one. And I'd like to wear one. But that's a different story for a different day.
It's good. I don't know if I want to wear one.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. That's kind of weird that you would wear a shirt with your own face on it. That's a little narcissistic.
I felt the same way.
I can understand that, I guess. You know what? You know what the cool thing's going to be? The first time I'm walking around town, the mall, the grocery store, whatever, you like that, somebody, and I see somebody wearing one.
That would be pretty dope.
Yeah.
But as far as wearing our own shirt,
and I'm going to walk up behind that person.
As my guy John Westling would say, it's kind of like huffing your own farts. Like,
good point.
I don't know. I want one, but I'm not going to wear it. Okay. If that makes sense.
First time I see one, I'm going to walk up behind the guy who doesn't see me and just
go, "What up, Faction? Hey, how we like, doing?
Oh, my God.
You just crapped your pants on The Usual Suspects."
And then do the eye twitch.
No, don't do that.
No.
That's not good.
No. I don't want the hammer after me.
Somebody said that was my move. I'm so vain. All right. I don't even know why I read this stupid-ass text half the time.
Oh, by the way, we got to finish that, though. Listener appreciation party.
Yes.
Going to give away the two tickets.
At?
235.
235.
Caller number?
35.
235.
27.
Caller 27?
We've confused the entire audience.
Why 27 at 235?
Why
can't we just do 35?
Russell Westbrook, why not?
So is it 27 or is it 35?
Pick it, Barry. Go ahead.
It's 27.
Caller number 27 at 2:35 p.m.
Caller number 27, 2:35. You're not going to get like reminders and time to go now stuff. Watch your clock at 2:35.
Set your alarm.
Caller 27.
Yes.
Good luck.
Go. Yes. And you get a shirt. Congrats.
John Clay Wolf. Give me the VIN.com. Coors Light. Big City Wings. All proud sponsors of the big event.
Yes.
And if you missed it, it's August the 15th. Starts at 6:30 p.m. Got to have an invite to get in. Got to be 21 or over.
Yep.
I think I covered the details.
By the way, get in, though, Big City Wings.
If you hear a dog growling in the background, that's just my stomach. You mentioned Jim Adler, and Pink Valkyrie said, have you guys seen his Spanish commercials?
No way.
Because I'm watching the Spanish TV
and
all the time.
Apparently, I've not heard it. You've never heard it.
Nope.
But we made Nick pull it up. So we're all going to hear this live for the first time, unless, of course, you watch Telemundo or wherever he advertises at. But this is the Jim Adler. Now, is this bilingual? There's some English and Spanish?
There's English and Spanish in it, yeah.
All right, let's see what this sounds like.
Soy Jim Adler, a martillo tejano. Mi martillo fue forjado en el fuego de la justicia.
Vocera para Jim Adler.
Consiga el martillo. Él hará que la compañía de seguros le pague el dinero que usted merece.
Mi cliente estuvo en un accidente con una volqueta. Él se lesionó el cuello y la rodilla. Yo le conseguí $100,000. Yo lucho contra el fuego con fuego.
Llame al 713-777-4000.
713-777-4000.
That was outstanding. I love that
did
so much.
Did he say El Dolaro? I think he did.
That would be funny.
I Googled, I hammered them, and this is what it sounds like. Hold on, I'm going to.
Los Martillé.
Now you got to do it like
a Los Martillé! El Dolaro! We're going to get you uno, dos, and treso! Bring it!
What is justicia?
I don't know.
Is that Houston?
That
I, not, maybe.
I thought it's Houston. I don't know.
Alex Houston. Good,
no, because remember the IKEA commercial we had?
Oh yeah.
And she kept saying Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
I'm really mad that he doesn't advertise on the show because I want to run that commercial.
How mad?
Los Martillé. Uh-oh. There's the... Don't! No! Joel, I'm not looking at you anymore. How do you say twitchy eye in Spanish? Stop it. You're such a jerk. I'm not watching you anymore. Just go to the Twitch if you want to see Joel do the full compliment.
I ain't twitching!
That was pretty good, though. I like the Adler commercials in Spanish. That was pretty good.
He's got to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
We just gave him a free commercial on the air.
I'm saying. He's welcome.
Good Lord, people. So this Carmelo Anthony deal became a thing. Stephen A. Smith got this exclusive with Melo. He claims Melo called him up, needed to talk, get some things off his chest, only want to talk to him. They do the exclusive 9 a.m. Central this morning on ESPN, and he breaks down how unhappy he was with everything that happened when he was with the Rockets. He mentions the fact that it was a 10-game experiment in the regular season. He mentions the fact that they never talked to him about coming off the bench, which I think is poppycock, to be as nice as I can about it. But then he mentions the fact that after the deal is done and he's told that he's no longer going to be a member of the Rockets, how it went down with Chris Paul, James Harden.
So when you say it's deeper than basketball, be specific. What do you mean?
Well,
by that?
I mean, at my point at that time, that's what I was feeling. Like, yo, this is deeper than basketball. Obviously, you know, this was... I was on a 10-game trial period. Like, this is not something that just happened, right? This is something that's been talked about over these first 10 games of the season.
Did Chris Paul feel the same way?
Once I talked to him. Like, I called him right away. I called him and I called James right away. And I said, look, just keep it 100 with me. Like, did you know anything about it? Because if you know anything about this, then me and now our friendship is on the line. So you got to just keep it honest with me. He's like, nah, I didn't. I ain't know anything about this. And James told me the same thing. Mm.
Do you believe? I know how tight you are with Chris Paul. I do not know your relationship with James Harden. But even though CP3 is still a baller, we all know who the star of the Houston Rockets is.
Right.
It's James Harden. And if James Harden, one would surmise that if James Harden wants you on the Houston Rockets, you would be on the Houston Rockets. People are at least going to assume that that's the kind of power he has. Is that how you feel? That if James Harden wanted you on the team, you would be there?
I never spoke to James about this. I can't, I would never jump the gun. I would never make that assumption. I had a one-on-one heart-to-heart with CP in my room 1 o'clock in the morning. Looked him in his eye, he looked me in my eyes and told me, yo, bro, like I would never do something like that to you. I take that, right? That with me and him, it goes deeper than basketball. So for him to sit there and really feel the pain that I was going through at that moment, like being very vulnerable at that moment, I honestly could say that I don't think he knew anything about it.
So there's the thing. It goes on to say, and this is the interesting thing to me, Chris Paul went to his room. Chris Paul looked him in the eye. They had a conversation. He believes Chris Paul. He dodged it, but the bottom line was there was no – he elaborated a little bit that there was no one-on-one face-to-face with James. They're absolutely right that if James wanted you to stay, you would probably still have stayed.
Yeah.
That's what I think people need to see in this, too. It is James Harden's franchise, as Stephen A. pointed out. And at the same time, James doesn't have a whole lot of people's backs in a lot of situations. And I don't believe that if you really pressed Carmelo Anthony that he would tell you that he believes James went out of his way to try and get Carmelo to be able to stay.
Well, obviously not.
Should he have?
Or he would have been.
Should he have, though?
It depends. I don't know what's happening at these practices. Now, he went to say he was never late for practice. He made every practice. He busted his tail. He was told that he was never told that he was coming off the bench, which, again, I feel
I don't believe
is
that.
Hard
I don't
to
believe.
Believe
that at all.
But I also believe that Carmelo's a guy. We look at when he was in OKC, and he came out when he should have, again, accepted a role, but he came out and called a press conference to say, that's not what I'm here for. I'm not coming off the bench. I'm not coming off the bench for him or them or anybody else. And you knew going in that was going to be the case.
You knew.
So,
sorry.
No, so when they said they were thinking about bringing him in, Daryl had to – you have to have that conversation with him. If you're going to come in, you have to understand you're going to probably come off the bench.
Yeah, you know coming in. I mean, there was here's the problem is I think everybody knew what they were getting in Carmelo Anthony, and he knew what his role was going to be, whether he wanted to accept it or not. There's that problem with athletes where they're like, oh, I still have it. Well, you don't. Like, you don't, and you're not. But this is one of those things where, in hindsight, he's never going to come in and say, yeah, you know, I didn't accept the role because I felt like I had something left and they treated me well. And I mean, there's going to be two sides of it, and both are going to try to make themselves look better. Somewhere in the middle is the truth.
I've always said that, yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of the one side and versus the other is what really happened. And I think when if James wanted him around, obviously he would still be here. But I think if the team wanted him around, they would go to James and try to convince him to make this work too. And that obviously wasn't the case.
And you're also talking about what was his biggest issue? Carmelo Anthony, when he was a Rocket, it was defense. Do you know how much?
I don't even think it was that, Nick. I think it was the fact
that he didn't know how to deal with the switches. He didn't get the defensive scheme at all. At least that was one big thing. And the reality is, guess what? James Harden always gets criticized for
defense.
So yeah. You want him to go and defend a guy, keep him on the team while he's being criticized for defense too. And this guy has no aspect of it whatsoever in a Rockets uniform.
And I agree with that as being a factor. The bigger factor too is the fact that he didn't want to come off the bench. And then when he did get chances to play, he wouldn't follow D'Antoni's system. No more 15 footers, no more mid range threes, and push the break. But he believed that he understood that was what you're supposed to do conceptually, but that wasn't going to stop him from doing. That's the bigger thing. He understands and hears what everybody tells him, but in his mind, he can hear it all he wants. He's not going to do it. He's not coming off the bench. He's not playing defense. He's not going to stop shooting the mid-range. And guess what? On top of all that, when he was shooting the mid-range, he wasn't making a whole lot. He had one game, I think, where he was decent. But all things being considered, I think they had to cut bait with him because they knew this was going nowhere.
This was a square peg and a round hole deal from the get-go.
Another one.
Yeah. And they tried to make it work. And this is just another example of Daryl Morey falling in love with a name and trying to make it work. Mm-hmm. But you got to give him credit that they bailed on the experiment and said, this isn't working. And if we right the ship now, we have a chance. And that's exactly what happened. But this was doomed to fail from the get-go because you added a guy with a mid-range game to a team that doesn't believe in the mid-range game. That made no sense. But they had to have a name. They had to have a superstar. And he knew he wasn't going to fit here either,
though. Here's the other thing I didn't like. He said that in the interview today. He said, they told me they were bringing me in to be that piece that gets them over the hump, that third star. Come on, man. There is nobody in their right mind, and you, including himself, should look in the mirror and think, I was the guy that was going to get them over the hump.
Yeah, that was going to win a championship.
Yeah. That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, that. Again, he's going to say all the right things to make himself look better because he's probably still vying for one more.
Oh, he was basically he was lobbying hard today.
That's why
other team should give him a chance.
Yeah. Well, you know what you should give a chance to is Get Upside as well. You should give Get Upside a chance, especially if you like money. It's going to get you cash back on the stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. And you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back every time you fill up. Now, put in my promo code Barry when you download it, and you'll get a little bump in your first fill up. You'll get a little extra. I think Jake Asman got like $7 back on his first fill up through the app using my promo code. My wife got 30 cents a gallon back. And guys, it's so easy. You're already pulling up to you're pumping gas. You're using your debit card. You're getting a receipt. The only difference is you take a picture of your receipt and your phone uploads it. That's it. And you're going to get cash back on that purchase. How easy is that? And there's no catch. There's no gimmicks. There's no long-term commitments. If you don't like Get Upside, just stop using it. But give it a shot at least and see if you like getting that money back. And you will, because you like money, like me. Everybody loves it. But you can also get cash back on food. So if you want to stop and grab some dinner on the way home, hey, take that opportunity to get up to 35% cash back at over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston. It couldn't be easier to use. You can get your friends involved and get even more money back. And don't forget, Get Upside was featured on ABC 13, so this is a legitimate thing. I'm using it. Nick uses it. AJ uses it. A lot of people at the station using it. Aaron and his wife fight over who's going to fill up the car at their house. Like, guys, if you haven't downloaded this yet, you're wasting money and you're wasting time. Go do it right now. Download Get Upside. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Like, I love Charles Barkley, but Charles is another one. Charles can't talk. It seemed like whatever's going on in Charles' mind don't match what's coming out of his mouth. Like, his mind and mouth is playing Marco Polo. They not on the same accord. Like, Charles, what do you think about Shaq getting traded to the Phoenix Sun? The Phoenix Sun, let me tell you something. Shaquille on there, and Kobe Bryant, Kobe, everybody know Kobe. 40 points, 50 points, greatest player. Let me tell you something. Everybody, he start throwing in shit that ain't got nothing to do with basketball. Krispy Kreme donut, it's round like a rim. Got a hole in it.
There you go. Ari Spears, Comedian of the Week. Funny stuff. And by the way, if you think he's funny now, you should make sure you see the show on Sunday night that Barry so strongly contributes to. And you're going to have a one-on-one with him.
Yeah, we sat down after he did John Over Hill with Dale and did a nice little TV interview with him. I don't know how much of it will air. We'll have a little clip of it at 3:15. And then, catch it at 11:30 Sunday night on Channel 2, KPRC.
There you have it.
Yeah.
All right. So before the break, we were talking about Carmelo Anthony and this interview he did with Stephen A. Smith today on ESPN, kind of clearing the air on a lot of subjects. Clarence wants to get in here and talk about Melo real quick. Clarence, what do you got?
What up, guys?
So
here's my thing about Melo and the Rockets, for that matter. Why did anybody think this was going to work? And D'Antoni tried this before in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it wasn't going to work. They didn't get along then. He couldn't play in his system then. What made them think he was going to do it now? And I don't know what's going on with a older Melo who still can't play defense, who's missing a couple of steps. I don't know what team will want him anyway. It's not like he's a older Kobe Bryant or someone like that. Melo is losing it, and he's lost it. I don't know what he's trying to lobby for. But, no, it's just not going to work. Not in this league and not at his age.
Appreciate the call, Clarence. Look, the bottom line is he lobbied, if you saw any of the show, he lobbied because he wants a job and says he should be on someone's 15-man roster. So the fact of the matter is he believes someone should still give him a chance. I think the reason to answer Clarence's question why he hasn't gotten that chance, and he probably won't, is exactly what we were talking about. There's too much baggage off the court that could be anywhere near worth putting him back on the court.
If all of this was out of character,
exactly.
If all of this wasn't something we've seen time and time again, every stop he's made, he played well in Denver, but it didn't end well. Same thing in New York, same thing in OKC, and same thing here. This is a pattern. A zebra doesn't change its stripes.
You want the exact opposite of Carmelo Anthony? Vince Carter.
Marmelo Canthony.
Vince Carter went from a starter, superstar-type talent that everybody looked at. And you know what he did? He adapted his game, and he's now playing his 20th year in the NBA.
He did what The Rock said. Know your role and shut your mouth, jabroni.
That's exactly right. Know your role and play it. You got a spot.
Yep. That's a good point. That's a really good analogy between the two. The difference between the
but
two.
But if you come in with baggage, and you got more baggage off the court than you bring to the team on the court, why should I bring you in?
Yeah. It's like you keep stats at how many points he had. How many problems does he average? That's a new stat line for Carmelo Anthony. That's not something you want to lead the league in, is problems. Real quick, because we talk about Get Upside, or I do, and somebody said that he said, this is for my fellow suspects on the Northwest side. There's a Shell station at West Little York in the Beltway offering 19 cents a gallon cash back today.
That's big.
That's tremendous. So appreciate the heads up there. Do you think, though, I mean, is there a team that a legitimate contender that would be willing to try Carmelo one more time?
Sure.
Would you risk that, though? Because yesterday or earlier this week, we talked about these new teams with these new dynamic duos. And we talked about the fact that most of them are going to have to figure it out chemistry-wise. Adding another complexity or another layer to that complexity as far as team chemistry goes with a guy who we just got through saying has a track record of not getting along wherever he's been, is that worth the risk?
The only place I think he could play
I would say
Golden State.
No. There's two places he could still play and get a chance. The Lakers with LeBron, because LeBron is such a dominant personality. LeBron is what James isn't, and that is James likes to do his stuff under the radar, doesn't want to get blamed for things, doesn't want to say, no, it was it, he always deflects. LeBron,
he's Shaggy, it wasn't me.
Yeah, LeBron will be the guy that owns it and says, you know, he makes decisions. He doesn't shy away from the fact it's his team. So I could see LeBron being tight, because he is tight with Melo, saying, yeah, I'm going to give you a shot. You live in L.A. half the year. We'll give it a go. But if it doesn't go, or you start pulling this, that, and the other thing, I'm also going to pull the plug on it.
But the report that we saw is that he already did that. Like, he made a call. There was either a phone call or some sort of line of communication between him and the Lakers about practicing, and that he wouldn't take a bench role with the Lakers either. And that report came out before he even became a Rocket. So, I mean, that reputation of him not accepting roles kind of follows him around. I guess LeBron James, he's LeBron James, so he has that kind of power to bring him in regardless.
That's my point, though.
Right, and I agree with that part. But he did, there was a report, whether it's true or not, that he wasn't willing to take that role at L.A.
He wasn't in the past, but if you're going to go out and put your ass on the line and beg for a job like you did today on national TV and say that, you know, he'd be open to that. You'd be open to coming off the bench.
Open
and be
to
doing
it
these.
And committed to it is two different things.
Absolutely.
You know,
but
I mean,
I'm saying, if you're going to go and say all the right things on TV today and you don't do what you said, then look, it's done. It's over. Don't ever come on TV again begging for a job. But if you do want one more door to open, to answer your question, the two places I think it could happen, L.A. now with the Lakers, and if Chris Paul goes to Miami, I could see, or somewhere that's a contender, I could see him going with Chris Paul, wherever that may be, Miami or otherwise, one more time. Other than that, I don't think there's many teams. There's not a team that's a mediocre team, especially a team with a bunch of young players, that should even consider it, because of the fact that he could taint a lot of guys that could have careers in this league for a long time if they don't follow his
ways.
I mean,
you're talking about him going with Chris Paul. Chris Paul may not leave OKC this year.
Oh, no, he's going somewhere.
He's
going somewhere.
We'll see.
But
so he certainly isn't going back to OKC with Chris Paul, you think?
No. He's going somewhere if Chris Paul goes to a contender, or like if Chris Paul teams with Jimmy Butler and finds his way to Miami, I could see Carmelo having a chance there. And I don't think Chris Paul is as dominant a personality because of the abilities that LeBron would be with the Lakers, but you need someone that's a little bit more outspoken and controlling outwardly than the situation in Houston where James wasn't.
Interesting. Let's get Terrell on the phone real quick. He wants to talk about Carmelo before we hit a break.
All right.
Terrell, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. How you guys doing?
What's good up, man?
One thing I want to say about Carmelo is I don't think he realizes who he is anymore. Like, at some point he was in top five, top ten player in the league, but he's not that dude anymore. Like, and I think he just thinks about his name alone, like what his name brings, like the value of his name. Like, nobody values you like that no more. Like, at one point, his name, Carmelo, it was just more than basketball. Like, in the streets, overseas, like, everything combined, it was top of the line. But now, it's not that no more. And he just fails to accept and realize. He probably realizes that he just doesn't accept it.
Oh, okay.
And to me, it's just hurtful to see, like exactly what you guys said. Just do what Vince Carter does. Just come off the bench, play your role, and that'll be it. And you can get more opportunities, and you never know. Your role might grow from that. But and he's not accepting his career at this point where it is, and him physically where he is.
Terrell, we got to get to a break, buddy. I think your point has been made and well taken and well spoken. Thanks for the call. We do have to get to a break, but yeah, I mean, he's basically just summarizing what we're saying.
Bottom line is, to sum it all up,
moment has passed.
To sum Terrell's point up,
it's time to play a role.
LeBron came. I mean, Carmelo came out today as part of this and said, you know, Chris Paul. I mean, LeBron's got his rings. Guys that he was, you know, that are his buddies got rings. Why not him? And he goes, I still sit there and I think, why hasn't that been me? Why not me? Well, look in the mirror, bro. Yeah. There's got to be at some point where you got to have a reality check.
Exactly.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. 90 in the books, still 90 to go with the big show. Remember, there's opportunities for you coming up as well. So hang in there as we head to the second half.
Hey, guys, let's talk travel for a second. Most of us do travel a little bit, if not a lot, every year. How are you booking your hotel rooms? I have a suggestion for you. If you're not using besthotelrates.com, you better get on it. They've made special deals and they have special rates that they've negotiated with over 600,000 hotels worldwide, and they extend those discounts to you. All you got to do is go to besthotelrates.com, put in your destination, the dates of your travel, and voila, you are looking at discounted rates for many of the hotels you're probably going to stay at anyways. So save your money and book through besthotelrates.com. They got great customer service. They back up your reservations. Your stay is safe. It's secure. All you got to do is go and have a good time. Check them out. Start planning your trip today. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. 90 in the books. 90 still to go in the big show. It's the second half right here on ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday. You got The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio. We were talking Rockets and Carmelo and all of this stuff today, thanks to Melo trying to make himself relevant again on ESPN this morning. The Christmas Day games, as the NBA schedule bleeds out into the public before it's actually officially released, the Rockets look like they're going to be playing the Warriors in San Francisco on Christmas Day. The Bucks are going to be playing at Philly, Boston at Toronto, Zion and the Pelicans at the Nuggets as these games continue to come out. So people are like all giddy about Rockets Warriors in San Francisco Christmas Day. Okay, it's a little too far away for me.
Yeah, totally agree.
I don't
little. I mean, that's going to be great and all, but
so
not going to get all that excited on August 2nd about a Christmas game.
Exactly. So if you care, it's there. If you care, you guys call me a little bit over the top on a basketball. That'd be a little much, but. There you have that.
Dude, we were talking earlier when you said you got to go see the 4D ultrasound of the baby.
Yep.
And I saw this article on Bro Bible, and I'm curious as a dad how you would react to this. There's this kid in India who was having a lot of pain in his mouth.
Okay.
Now, normally you'd be like, oh, you know, he's getting teeth, they're growing or whatever, it's sore. 7-year-old boy starts getting some swelling in his jaw. Doctors did an examination and found that the kid had a massive amount of teeth in his mouth. And by massive, I mean 526 teeth.
What?
In his mouth.
Is a kid a piranha?
Now, or a shark or something, yeah. Right? Like five rows of teeth. Most humans, it depends on where you live. Alabama.
Mississippi.
Cut and shoot. Most humans have 32 teeth. Children sometimes will have 20. 526. Essentially what it said is that there was like this sack of teeth in his mouth that they had to remove. It doesn't even sound feasible to have.
I don't think so either.
They called them minute teeth.
Like I was going to say, how big are they?
They're like tiny little bags of, there's like a bag full of these teeth, and there's a picture of it in the article on CNN. I don't know why they put it in a circle. That made it weird. Like, oh, look, let's make a shark's tooth necklace or something like that.
So all the ones they pulled out, they laid out for you?
Yeah.
I would be more concerned. I would be more interested in how they sat in his mouth.
In a bag, in a sack or something like that. 526.
That's weird.
That's super weird. That's like they've never seen that before. It said this is the first ever case to be documented worldwide where so many minute teeth were found in a single individual. He was taken to a hospital for a swollen jaw when he was 3, but the young lad refused to let doctors examine him. So his condition went undiagnosed for 4 more years.
Oh my goodness.
That's wild, dude.
Absolutely I can't imagine wild. What he was feeling, but I'm like...
But these teeth, like some of them are full-size teeth. Some of them are like little bitty tiny... They look like crack rocks, if I'm being honest. They look like just little... Who the hell's growing crack rock teeth?
Yeah, I don't know what his gene pool looks like.
I don't know.
Baby shark doo 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 baby. No?
God, now we're going to be singing that because of you.
There you go.
I hope you're happy. Hey, let's talk a little football, can we?
Sure.
Let us know who the winner is, Nick, when you figure it out. I found an article about fantasy sleepers for all 32 NFL teams.
Okay.
And I want you to guess who you think the fantasy sleeper is for your Houston Texans. Who do you think the sleeper would be on this team?
Sleeper?
Yes.
I have one of two.
You're going to say?
Kiki Kuti.
Or?
Will Fuller.
Which one? Pick.
Will Fuller.
Okay, it was QT.
Damn it.
But yeah, they're both probably this, because you know about D-Hop. You know Deshaun's probably going to be, at the top of the middle.
Yeah, I mean, one of the tight ends fantasy. Could give you some sleeper points, but not like a lot.
The other name that I thought that might be on there, especially depending on what happens with Lamar Miller, is Deontay Foreman.
Yep.
But I thought Kiki QT, yeah, because you saw in flashes what that kid is capable of doing. It's not about a lack of ability.
It's just about being able to stay on the field.
Can he stay healthy? Yeah. Can he stay healthy? Another name I saw on the list, Kareem Hunt of the Cleveland Browns.
I can see that.
Absolutely, because a lot of people are going to shy away from drafting him in their fantasy leagues. But they were like, hey, we hate to tell you to draft a guy that's serving a 6-game suspension. But once you get to the point where he comes back, if you can hang in there, you know, if you could just maybe go 500 the first 6 games of the year, go 3-3, well, you're in it now after
that. It also kind of says, what does it say to you about Nick Chubb? Because, you know, you look at, and we were talking about Melvin Gordon earlier. We were talking about Zeke from the time that he got in the league. Unlike a lot of positions in this league, when you're a running back that can play, you can play from day one. The fact that Nick Chubb took a while to get onto the field and he kind of had glimpses here and there kind of leads you to believe if you're looking at Nick Chubb as your frontline running back, you might want to see who else is out there first, because it sounds like Nick Chubb's going to be a placeholder.
Yeah.
And when Kareem Hunt comes back, there's their guy.
Some other names I found interesting on this list of sleepers, and it was one per team. But now, again, this is sleepers for fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, Lamar Jackson.
Okay, come on.
See, I get it because he's a running quarterback. He's going to run for a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, but he, you know what?
But based then on where all the interceptions him, he's going to throw.
Yeah, it's going to be, look, he's going to be maybe for a week or two as your second quarterback. If he's going to get you yards rushing as well as pass, he could, for a week or two, he might be able to hold the place for you there, but he's not going to be, if he's your starting quarterback week one.
He's one of those guys you take a flyer on late in the rounds. And maybe you use him if your starting quarterback, whoever you pick ahead of him, is on their bye week.
That's what I'm saying. He's a filler for a week or two.
For the Cardinals, they have Christian Kirk, which I found to be interesting. I don't know if I think he's going to be a sleeper. I think he's going to be a legitimate player in fantasy. They have him as a sleeper, which, you know, drives up his PPR value because of how much they think he'll be targeted.
He's a Kuti type guy, too. Put him in the slot. He's a little sturdier, a little bit more stocky than Kuti. And I think, you know, again, that all depends on what they got at quarterback. If their quarterback shows up from day one, then Larry Fitzgerald's another guy that even as with his age,
he wouldn't be a sleeper,
he's
but
so reliable. Yeah, he should give you numbers.
He'll outperform expectations or at least where he's drafted. For the Bucs, they have Jameis Winston listed.
Well, he better. He better be more than a sleeper. He better be a killer for them if they're going to do anything.
Yeah, for especially for them to have. And on the Giants, they just put any healthy receiver
as a sleeper. Because Saquon's got to carry him.
Yeah, for sure. Lions.
Who'd they put for the Packers?
Oh, I'm going to get there. But the Lions, they have Danny Amendola. Can he stay healthy is the question.
That's another one.
They talked about the fact that Matthew Stafford loves to throw to his slot receivers. Look how Golden Tate excelled in that system, and that's true. But damn, Amendola can't stay on the field. He's like Will Fuller.
Yeah.
All the potential in the world, but can't stay on there.
He's proven more than Will Fuller, too.
Yeah.
But he's also a little bit long in the tooth. You were mentioning Tate.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what I did there.
I see what you did there. Green Bay Packers. Marquise Valdez-Scantling.
I kind of thought that's who they were going to go with.
Is their sleeper pick.
He better, because they got really a whole lot of question marks on the other side of Davante Adams.
Yes, they do.
In receiver, so.
That's pretty much all I see. I don't see any other big standouts. I mean, they have like Dede Westbrook for the Jags and Devin Funchess for the Colts, but there you go.
There you go.
There's your fantasy sleepers on some of the teams around the NFL, and keep that in mind. As you draft.
And if you got more football that you want to get to, and we probably have some stuff too, just give us a shout, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line is open. You can call and you can get in on the show, or you can text that number. You can also reach us on Twitter as we continue to roll through. But we have plenty more for you as we continue to push on. So we're going to step away for just a few minutes and come right back with much more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Wrapping up hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on an F, yeah, Friday in the big city. Shout outs and props to Cowboys and Indians in Midtown for supplying us with a little grub.
Fantastic
on a Friday.
Food.
Always a fan, we all are.
I was going to say F stands for food.
Yep. I see what you did there. Wow, you're
I'm pretty quick.
Sharp as a tablespoon.
I'm going to take a little credit for one of their new menu items.
Okay.
They got some new stuff on the menu. They got nachos. Right?
Yeah,
like the non-quesadillas.
N-A-A-N.
Nachos. They got a hummus plate. They have the Himalayan sliders. Now, if you'll recall, back in the day, they had the Himalayan heat burger. I was there one day. I asked them to make it as sliders, and he did. And I didn't know that it wasn't on the menu, so for the longest time, I was just telling everybody to get the Himalayan heat sliders, not knowing that wasn't a thing. But Imran got wise now, and it is an actual thing you can order off the menu. They got a thing going on, too, some giveaways to go see the Cowboys versus Texans. So check out their IG at CNI713 for more. It's like a $1,000 value. You get all kind of cool stuff, tickets and transportation and all that. They take care of it all. But look on CNI713 on Instagram for all the info, and definitely go out there and eat, because the food is tremendous.
Conveniently located in the Midtown area, so if you're out and about drinking some beverages and whatever and you need some good food and you don't want to go to that traditional bar food, right there nearby. And like Barry said, I mean,
amazing food, and I went healthy and it's still delicious. I got green beans and chicken and I'm loving this right now.
Yeah, there you go. We're staying on the football theme. I want to get your guys' opinion on this. It's kind of crazy to me. So Yahoo Sports does an article on the most tortured fan bases in the NFL.
Texans.
No. Not even in the top 10.
Cleveland.
The Browns. Number 10, the Raiders. Number 9, and I literally don't believe this, the Packers.
What?
Yeah, I could see that.
Why is Green Bay on the list?
I mean, they're a winning team, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why should they be? I get the Raiders. They haven't won in forever. And the 1 year after they did, it got all screwed up with Gruden and everything else now, and they're trying to piece it back together. They got rid of Khalil Mack. I get that. Packers at 9, Vikings at 8. Again, I don't get it. They had a good year last year.
Well, they got close.
And... yeah, and obviously with the heartbreaking defeat when they had the Saints beat.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, the 49ers.
I mean... as much as they were winning in the 90s?
Well, yeah. And then
are we taking into account the life of the organization or just recently?
This is why I said, I just think this is just, whether you want to call it out of touch or for whatever the reason.
But is it recent or is it over?
It's recent.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I guess because the Packers have had some success, but how are the Texans not in the top 10?
That's what I just don't get either. So you're
going to have the Packers in. I'd have the Texans in before the Packers, but whatever.
And I would agree with that as well. So when you look at, you know, and I'm looking at the list and I'm going, that's the first thing I said. Well, the Texans have to be in there. And they're not.
So who else is in there?
So let me get it. Just
Browns and Bills have to be at the top along with the Bucks, right?
My computer just froze when we needed it most, so I'm trying to get it back for you.
Maybe I'll
you
do it, Joel. I've got the list. Most tortured franchises on Yahoo. This is according to Yahoo. Packers at 9, Vikings at 8, Niners at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And where the hell did the rest of your story go here?
That's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, it's not all right.
Bengals at 6.
I mean, I can get that. I get that one easily.
Lions at 5.
Get that one, too. Never been anywhere.
Falcons at 4.
Don't get that one. I mean, I understand the heartbreak of losing a Super Bowl, but guess what? You got there.
He got to a Super Bowl. Redskins at 3. Totally get that.
Yep, get that.
Jets at 2.
I get that as well.
Giants at 1.
Understandable, but again, we don't even know. Everybody's banking on the Browns to have turned it around and be this sexy team this year. But you can't erase that much heartache. And the bottom line is, how about the Bears? The Bears, for everybody who thought that they had turned it around and they had a good year and they won the division, but guess what? They didn't have a kicker and they got beat in the playoffs when they were supposed to be fighting for an NFC championship and possibly a Super Bowl. And before that, they almost had as many quarterbacks as the Browns did.
How are the Browns not in the top 10?
Yeah, and the Texans. Again, because
it makes no sense.
We talk about the Texans all the time as Bill O'Brien and the franchise gets a pass because it's a football town and it's a football state. And if you're competitive and, you know.
Do you think it's because they've had a winning record for so many years since he's been here? And 9-7 is still a winning record.
Well, not just a winning record.
They're not losers,
but you've gotten division titles.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you go 9-7, technically you're not a loser. You know,
barely, but
technically,
yeah. Right. But again, we talked about this yesterday.
Loser-like tendencies, but you're technically not.
I just think they got too much of a pass. I think the Texans should be on this list. I'm agreeing with you that the Browns should be on this list.
The Bucks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should be on this list.
Yeah, they won a Super Bowl.
That's a long ass time ago. If you're going to put the Packers on this list,
put the Cowboys on that list. They haven't won a Super Bowl in forever.
That's true.
Their playoff runs.
But this is. I mean, the article says that this is what? Who are the most tortured fan bases? So I guess it's not necessarily crappy teams. It's the ones that make you think the expectations are there, and then
they
they're not.
They dangle the carrot and they pull it away.
Even then, if you're the Browns with all the failures in the draft and the experiments with Johnny Manziel, if you're the Bucks and you go out and you think you got a franchise quarterback and Jameis Winston and he's not, right. You think you've made the right moves and you haven't. You know, the Dolphins is another
Dolphins
one.
Dolphins should be another one high on the list.
Yeah, I mean.
You're right. The Bills, where are they? Bills have been awful forever.
There's a lot of these that I get on here. And the Giants, because expectations with Eli. So I get why they're on here. Mm-hmm. Jets, Redskins. Yeah, Falcons. You the expectations, the fact that you got to a Super Bowl. I don't know. The Lions were really good for a really long time. And maybe that's why they're on this list
when
now.
When were they really good?
I mean, the Lion with Megatron and Stafford.
They still never won the division. You think about that. It's always been the Packers or the Vikings or the Bears. They don't win division.
Well, maybe that's why they're on this list, because they've showed so much promise. They've had so much talent and really haven't done anything.
I think they should be on the list.
Bengals 49. Yeah, I don't get the Vikings, the Packers, and the Falcons on this list.
I don't either.
But I could replace those three with any of those teams that we mentioned, including the Dolphins and the Browns. So
no doubt. You want to stay with football a little bit? Tyler wants to get in here on NFL players and fantasy football. Tyler, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, I just wanted to call. Me and Barry, I played in three fantasy years with Barry so far. And we all draft pretty different, man. And I wanted to say something that most people look at me like I'm crazy, and all the new fantasy players, you know, of course, go drafting, you know, Aaron Rodgers or QBX that's, you know, good. Dude, I don't draft a quarterback until right before I draft my kicker. I mean, so many, and of course, depending on the format, I don't really like the two quarterback leagues. I think they're whack. So stupid. Hate it. Can't deal with it. But with the quarterback, man, you can get a decent quarterback if you're in a 12 to 14 team league. You know, every year, whether it's Andy Dalton being middle of the road or whether it's Joe Flacco being awful but just packing up those yards, you know. So I just wanted to put that in and see what y'all's quarterback strategy was. I've always been more of a running back first guy and the stash on the running backs. But yeah, man, just want to see what you guys had to say. And whenever we get ready for that Usual Suspects fantasy league, man, just let me know I'm ready.
Appreciate it, Tyler.
Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, my philosophy varies. What I've done now is I've kind of made it easier on myself, and I go out and get the Football Guys Draft Dominator, and it does everything for you. You just tell it the format of the league.
That's the big thing.
And you just say, you know, whether it's one or two quarterbacks, whether it's PPR, whether it's pass per reception, pass per completion, or points per completion, and any of that. Points per reception. You plug all that in and it tells you. My philosophy when I first started playing fantasy was always running backs, because at the time, and it seems like it's always been where it's not the deepest position on the field. And the fact that if you can get a running back that does get a lot of receiving yards out of the backfield but still runs or rush for over 1,000 yards, there's way more value in that because you can rack it up from a receiver standpoint and a running back standpoint. For me, if the top three or four quarterbacks that you know are worth the investment early on are gone, then it does make sense to wait.
That's my point. I'm gonna draft quarterbacks based on the runs that go on within the actual draft. Because from year to year, and again, the first thing I would say is it's based on the scoring structure and the point structure for running backs, receivers. But in terms of quarterbacks, and again, if touchdowns are a 5 or a 4 as opposed to a 6, it makes a difference too. But I'm going to see if there's a run on running backs, then I'm going to try and get the best receivers I can right away first.
Right.
If there's a run on quarterbacks at a certain point, you pay attention to it.
I wouldn't wait till I drafted a kicker because I'm probably not taking a kicker till the second or last round.
Yeah. Yeah.
But. I try to having a good quarterback, if you can balance it all, you know, like you said, though, you can wait sometimes and still get value. Yep. It just depends. Like you can
get the front of the front line, then you're doing great. But if you don't, you can wait quite a while.
Yeah.
So, all right, there's 2 hours in the book. Still got an hour to go. 60 minutes on the clock when we return. By the way, Blitz starting at 4 today. Hey, they got the money line guys. They got Josh. They got Jerry Bowe. And they'll have all kinds of stuff heading to the weekend for you as well. Jerry Bowe's been hot again with his gambling picks, so check them out at 4 o'clock as they take the ride with with Fred, and they take you all the way till 7. It's right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource...